Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Christian Church. In case you don't recognize that bright light outside, that really is the sun. It does still exist. Promise of warmer weather this week, and spring has made its comeback. Let's turn off all our phones, electronic devices, and we will listen to the song that Lonnie's prepared for us. Thank you, Lonnie. We have several announcements this morning. First one being, you saw the notice up on the screens about the handbell ringers. Practice is Tuesday night, and Amber's going to need some help prior to that setting up the table. So if you can come a little bit early, you'll get a workout and a rehearsal in at the same time. Next weekend is Mother's Day. The juniors will be collecting a noisy offering. So all that spare change that you have in jars, in your pockets, in the bottom of your purse, bring it with, and they'll be collecting it to raise money for their trip this summer. Casper College has a band concert next Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Wheeler Concert Hall. He wrote on the note, it's a maybe, maybe not concert. If the weather's nice, it's a maybe, or it's definite. If not, it's a maybe not. It kind of depends on the weather. I think we're okay. And there's a couple members of the youth group who have an announcement to make for us.
Good morning. Thank you to everyone who came to Pete's Ranch on Wednesday. The youth group made $774.39.
And thanks to your guys' donations and everything that you've done to help us fundraise, we're almost to our halfway point of our goal, which is $2,840.
And we will also be selling tickets for the Trails End photo donated by Mr. Singleton until Celebration Sunday.
One other announcement I just want to point out in your bulletins about the garage sale for the firefighter fighting cancer. It gives all the details here on this insert, so please take note of that. And on one little side note, just want to congratulate Dennis Baker on a successful marathon, Big Sur Marathon, last Sunday. He did an awesome job. Got her done. Congratulations, Dennis. Okay, please stand and greet each other, sign the friendship sheets, and our hymn will be Down by the Riverside, hymn 673 in your book. Please join me in the call to worship. In the sound of rushing water, we recall our baptismal joy.
Come to Christ, the source of living water.
Let your thirst be quenched and your sins washed away.
In the sound of rushing water, we recall our baptismal joy.
O God, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, to enable, but we could not trust if we did not know that you are always near. Be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here to worship you. Help us not to check our minds or our hearts at the door, but enable us to bring all that we are to you, so that we might experience your touch upon all aspects of our life. We pray this prayer because of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever
may be seated. I invite you to take out the purple Chalice Praise songbook. We will sing together, O Lord, to you. You'll find it on page 63 in the Chalice Praise book. Children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing at the front of the sanctuary. Hey, Colin, where are you going? Come on down. We have something to talk about before you go to worship and wonder. I brought with me some water. You know, water is really important in our lives. When you're hot and thirsty, water is the very best thing to drink. And it helps plants to grow so we have food to eat. It helps us clean things, including ourselves, when we take a bath or a shower. Water is really essential for life. And in the church, there's a very special way that we use water. Sometimes it happens on Easter Sunday. We use water for baptism. And it reminds us of the ways in which Christ forgives our sin and gives us new life. So this morning, I'm going to do something that's a little unusual for us. I don't know if we have ever even done it here. Sometimes in the Catholic Church, they have a special service where people are asked to remember their baptism. And during that service, the priest takes water and sprinkles it on everybody in the whole sanctuary. And it's a way to remind everyone about the gifts of baptism. Now, some of you, Cheyenne has been baptized, but some of you haven't been baptized yet. But this morning, if you will let me, I'm going to sprinkle you with just a little bit of water. I promise you won't get real wet. Is it okay? Okay. Just a little bit. Just to remind you of the way that sometimes the rain falls and it feels good, and God's love falls on us. We'll even sprinkle little Reese. Hi, Reese. If you couldn't see, he squinched his eyes tight. I think I surprised him. Would you all like to help me sprinkle the whole congregation? What do you think? Yeah? Okay, why don't you stand up? We'll walk down the aisle, and those who are close to the aisle will get sprinkled. We probably won't do everybody, but you all can help. So just a little reminder of baptism. A blessing for everyone in church today. And I know if you have glasses, this is actually kind of annoying. I can relate to the experience. So if you want to take off your glasses or hide them, that's okay. A blessing to remember the blessings of water in our lives, the ways in which God blesses us abundantly. Do you guys think this is fun? You've never seen anybody do this, have you? We'll even go and do the very back section. Sometimes they feel left out in worship. Thank you guys for helping me. I'm going to set the water right here, and let's have a prayer before you go to worship and wonder. Can we hold hands? My fingers are wet. We'll hold hands anyway. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of baptism, for rain that falls upon the earth, for water to drink, for all the ways in which your love flows through our lives like living water. Bless now your children. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. And you guys can go to worship and wonder. Go have fun today. In your bulletin, you will find a list of prayer concerns and joys. And as we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you. You'll find a prayer card. It's a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card tower this morning is for Tina Beal as she recovers from surgery. We continue to pray for Matt Trott as he's going through cancer treatments, as well as many others receiving treatment for cancer. Craig Brandon, Cal Decker, Mark Steinle, Laura Chipperfield, Lindy Bland, and little Henry Iverson. Those on our prayer list with other health concerns include Lois Cook. She is home and on oxygen. She continues to do well. She's in good spirits, but it may still be a while before she returns to work, and of course Lois is wanting to retire, so it would be okay with her if we find a replacement right away. The personnel committee is meeting today. Please pray for them as they look at resumes. Prayers for Sandra Bentley. Sandy moved into life care on Monday of this week. She has been struggling with dementia issues. They've reached the point where she needs more care than her husband John can give at home. So please pray for Sandy and John. Mary Burgess is doing well. She had cataract surgery on Thursday. Ed reports that things went well, and she may even be able to drive tomorrow, which is good news. Prayers for Lorna Cook as she recovers from a thyroidectomy, and for Bob Cook, Jane Wallace's dad. They were on a cruise visiting Rome and Greece, and Bob came down with pneumonia, and they had to return home early. Prayers for Bob that he gets over this quickly. Our community and world concerns include Anil Henry, who serves in India as a missionary, and the members of First Christian Church in Grand Junction. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign to send greetings. Are there others today that we want to add to our list this morning?
Madison's at home with strep, and of course it's the last 2 weeks of school, so prayers that she gets well soon because she has a choir performance tonight and Thursday night, and then the stress of finals.
Prayers for Madison, who has strep right before finals week and choir concerts. Welcome home to Karen. It's great to have Karen Heckfeldt visiting from Oregon, and a word of welcome to our other visitors this morning. Are there any other concerns today or joys? Debbie. Praise God for that good news, that Sonia is out of the hospital in Kansas and back home. Let us bring these prayers to the Lord as we share a time of silence this morning. Almighty and holy God, you are the giver of life. At the dawn of creation, you formed the seas. You taught the rivers to flow, the rain to fall. We give thanks for all the ways in which water blesses our lives, for crops that grow, for food that is prepared and shared, and for the simple gift of a cold glass of water when we thirst. Lord, we pray today for people around the world who are thirsty. We pray for those who know physical thirst, who walk far in order to find safe drinking water. And we pray for all who suffer from spiritual thirst. We pray for those, O Jesus, who don't yet know you, who know they are longing for something in their lives and they haven't yet found your gift of living water. We pray for all who are in times of struggle or sickness, and we ask that your healing rains might fall upon thirsty souls. Lord Jesus, the great physician, today we give thanks for the gift of healing. We pray for Tina as she continues to recover from surgery. We lift up Lois. We rejoice that Sonia is home from the hospital. We pray for Mary and Lorna as they recover from medical procedures, and we ask you to watch Bob and heal his pneumonia. Lord, be with Madison today while she's home with strep throat. Help her to rest well. Help her body to be strong again. Lord, we pray that your spirit will help her body to fight infection. And we pray that you will ease the stress that she and other students feel this time of year. Oh God, we pray for Sandy Bentley as she begins a new time of life in assisted care. We pray for all those who struggle with dementia to the point that they can no longer live on their own. When the burden becomes too great for family members, Lord, we give thanks that there are facilities that provide safe and compassionate care. And we pray that you watch over Sandy, her sister Linda Mosteller, and Sandy's husband Johnny. Lord, be with Anil Henry, serving as a missionary in India, and be with all the members of First Christian Church in Grand Junction. Around the world, O God, in every tribe, every nation, every language, your glory is proclaimed. Through the witness of Christians, God, we pray that your love might flow to the most parched corners of the world, nourishing life, bringing newness, resurrection, hope, forgiveness, and peace. Oh God, may your spirit flow through us to water the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've shared before that for much of this school year, Charles and I had an exchange student from Norway, Peter, living with us. Peter has moved into another home in the community for the last month and a half of the school year, and then he'll go home to Norway right after graduation. When Peter was with us, one of our points of difference had to do with items in the refrigerator. I encouraged him to help himself to eat what he needed to eat when he was hungry, to fix a bowl of cereal for a snack. There was one day I came home, and it was obvious that Peter had fixed a bowl of cereal and then decided to throw it out. There was remains of cereal in the half the sink where the garbage disposal is. So Peter and I had a conversation. I said, it looked like you threw out a bowl of cereal. He said, yeah, the milk was bad. I said, oh, I'm really sorry, but I'm surprised it was bad because I just bought it. He said, you did? I said, yeah. He said, oh, well, yesterday I checked the date and it was expired. So we went to the fridge and I showed him that the expired carton of milk was indeed gone, and this was a brand new carton of milk. And I encouraged him before he poured a bowl of cereal, if he was concerned, to look at the date on the milk carton. And I then explained that sometimes the expiration date of items in America indicates that's the date when it's best for the stores to sell them. It doesn't mean the food automatically goes bad. So I took off the lid and had him sniff, and I said, do you smell anything? He said, well, it smells like milk. I said, yeah, if it was bad, you would know it by the stench. I said, if the milk smells funny or tastes funny, by all means, don't try to drink it. But don't just throw it away. Take a look first. When we come to the Lord's table, we are so fortunate to be fed on food that has no expiration date at all. This meal has been given by Christ to God's people for 2,000 years, and it is still not stale. Now, sometimes I know that the grape juice that a church might serve, sometimes, sure, that can expire. But the meaning of this meal is timeless. Indeed, it lasts for all eternity. This morning, as we share the Lord's Supper, I invite you to savor the freshest of gifts, the forgiveness of sin, the very love of God represented for us in a tiny piece of bread and a sip of the fruit of the vine. All who believe in Christ, whether you're visiting here or you've worshiped in this place your whole life, all who believe in Christ's love are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper as the sacrament is passed. We'll prepare for communion by singing together the first two verses of number 365 in the red chalice hymnal, Wash, O God, number 365, verse 1 and 2.
Thank you.
As we come to the table, we remember that night long ago when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Dear Lord and Father of us all, we come to receive this bread and to drink of the cup in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts with such a mighty love for you and for one another that our communion may be sweet and good. May the memory of these moments linger with us through the week as we pray daily in our hearts that we may do your will and that our sins may be forgiven. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for another chance for us to meet together in your house to worship you. And I pray that all our offerings given today are out of love. We experience your blessings every day, and your blessings are always given to us freely and with ultimate love. Father, you loved us all the way to the cross. May we love you enough to give you what is already yours. Bless these tithes and offerings. The diaconate will now receive our offerings. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and we give our whole selves to you. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Our first reading of the day comes from the book of Romans, and you'd find that on page 156 in your Bible. So, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Dying and rising in Christ. What then are we to say? Should grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the end of Romans reading.
Thank you, Peg. Our second reading today comes from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. In your pew Bible, it's on page 249. Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that joyous anthem today. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, may your Spirit flow upon our lives as we reflect on the words of Scripture. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the season between Easter and Pentecost, we are traveling for a few Sundays very intentionally through our senses. We're looking at how we encounter God in different ways through reflecting on our senses and sensual ways of connecting with the world. We've talked in recent weeks about a verse from the Psalms that says, "Taste and see the Lord is good." We've reflected on the flavors of heaven, the flavors of faith. Last Sunday, we reflected on what it means for our very lives to be an aroma to God, offered like incense and prayer that rises to heaven. And during this week, you were encouraged to pay attention to smells and how they might lead you to think of God's blessings in the world. This morning, you're invited to reflect on the conjunction of two sensual experiences, the sense of sound and the sense of touch, specifically how those intersect in a very simple, basic part of life, the gift of water. In Scripture, there are numerous stories and images related to water. From the very beginning in the story of Genesis, when we hear of God separating the waters from the lands. And the Old Testament story of the Israelites crossing through the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. In the New Testament, there's the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well and talking to her about the gift of living water that wells up from within and never goes dry. And of course, there are numerous passages in Scripture that speak of baptism, of different ways in which the waters of baptism take on meaning in the lives of believers. A common theological understanding of baptism is that it washes away our sins. It gives us a new beginning when we walk anew with Christ. In the text we heard this morning from the letter to the church in Rome, Paul speaks about how baptism is for us the death of our sin. He begins that passage with the question, should we sin more abundantly because we know our sins are forgiven? By no means. Let us abound in grace. We have actually died to sin through the waters of baptism. Our old selves pass away and they are no more. We die as Christ died when we enter the baptismal waters, and then we are raised to new life, just as Jesus experienced the resurrection. When we rise from the baptismal waters, we're raised to new life. That new life is glimpsed in part on earth when we live out our faith, and realized more fully when we reach heaven. In the passage that we heard from the book of Revelation, we can glimpse what heaven may be like, where people from all tribes, all nations, all languages are invited together into the presence of the Lamb, the one seated on the throne. You and I, as followers of Christ, belong to that great cloud of witnesses. We are invited to be part of that multitude of those who have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. We belong in that place not by our own merit, but by the grace given to us through Jesus Christ. This morning, I invite you to remember your own baptism. Perhaps you were baptized in this very place, immersed in the baptistry in this sanctuary. Perhaps it wasn't that long ago. Perhaps you were baptized somewhere else, as a young person or a young adult. Maybe your baptism happened as a baby and you were sprinkled, and you only remember that baptism through the stories that family members have told of the day when you were baptized. This morning, I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Remember your baptism. Remember if there are parts of that day that stand out as being special. How did you feel? Were you nervous or excited? Was there a sense of holiness as you joined the body of Christ? This morning, to help us remember our baptisms, I want to invite you to reflect on the sounds of water. Picture in your mind's ear the sound of a small stream high in the mountains, a babbling brook, water flowing gently over rocks and stones, winding its way down to the valley below. Listen. Listen with the imagination of your mind to the sound of that water splashing and flowing. The water gains strength and power as more streams join together to become a river. The water is louder. It has more power and force. Continue listening in your imagination to the sound of the roaring river as it nears a waterfall. Imagine the sound of a waterfall. Perhaps it's the waterfall at the foot of Casper Mountain in the Lions Park that you're listening to in your mind. Perhaps it's a stronger, higher, mightier waterfall. Perhaps it's the sound of the Yellowstone River, the Yellowstone Falls, falling from a great height. Imagine listening to the sound of that water, walking close to it, getting so close that you can hear nothing but the roar of the water itself. You are so close that mist splashes on your face. Of course, there are different kinds of water, different ways of hearing water. Perhaps you have memories of walking on the beach, listening to the sound of waves. At first, gentle and rhythmic, and then louder and stronger, whether at high tide or under a storm surge. Listen to the sound of water in your memory, and let that feeling carry you. The gift of water is indeed precious. We could not know life on this planet without it. Our bodies need water just to survive. Water to drink. Water to nourish the plants that give us food. Water, of course, is also very useful. It generates hydroelectric power. We use it to clean clothes and belongings and even our own bodies in bathing and taking showers. If there was no water, there would be no life. What does it mean to you to reflect on water spiritually? Remember again the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well. She offered to give him a drink of water, and Jesus said, "If you knew who it was who's talking to you now, you would ask and I would give you living water. Living water that gushes up from within, that never runs dry." Jesus explained, with that living water, she'd never have to keep coming back to the well. It would always be with her. What does it mean for you to have living water in your life? Right now, this day, this week, in what ways spiritually do you need living water? Do you have a sin that you have been struggling with that you pray God will wash away and forgive and let you start anew? Is there something in your life you have been longing for, you have been thirsting for? Turn that need over to God. The gift of water is powerful. It brings life. Of course, water can also destroy. And a flood that washes away riverbanks, carrying even homes and people downstream. The power of God is mightier than the most mighty flood. So perhaps there are times when we're a bit timid about really asking for living water in our lives. Perhaps if we think about it, we're really afraid that the Holy Spirit might just wash us away. Last Sunday morning in chapel, Carol Sage shared a reading from a book by Nadia Boltz-Weber, who will be the speaker at Spring Feast this year, our regional assembly, when the Disciple Churches gather in Colorado Springs in May. In the passage that Carol shared, someone asked Pastor Nadia about what it is in her personal life she does to get closer to God. I was struck by her response. Nadia said, "Are you crazy? Nobody in their right mind should really want to get closer to God. You get closer to God and your life is going to change. You spend time in prayer and reading scripture and you really listen to what God is going to ask you to do. God is going to ask you to love somebody you don't want to love. God is going to ask you to give away your money and your time and your energy and your strength. Come on, what do you mean getting closer to God?" There's something very truthful about her response. Diving in to the deep waters of the Spirit can be a scary thing. Recently, I attended the monthly Servants United luncheon, a gathering of pastors and other church leaders and parachurch leaders in our community. The speaker was from a Baptist church in town, and he was sharing his own personal reflection on how he's a person who likes to just dip his toe into things. He's not ready to dive in when it comes to change. It's an interesting image. When I lived in West Virginia as a young adult right before going to seminary, I rented an apartment above a garage that was at the back end of a lot. The landlord I rented from had a house at the front of the lot, and in between the house and the garage, their backyard was basically filled with a swimming pool. The 8-year-old boy who lived in the house loved that pool. All summer long, every afternoon, he would run outside in his swimming trunks and jump in, splashing and laughing. And then sometimes in the evening, his mother would come out to the pool. She approached the water a little differently. Her hair was always perfectly coiffed. It was dyed a not quite natural, brilliant blonde, and solidified in place with an entire can of hairspray. Never would a hair be out of place. Her face was perfectly made up, and yet she would come out to the pool in her swimsuit. And on a warm summer's evening, she'd sit on the edge and carefully put in one toe. Eventually, both feet would be in, and she'd splash a little. Some of us are like that with life. We approach things cautiously, a little at a time. Others are more like an 8-year-old boy who's ready to just jump in and splash around. When it comes to your life with God, are you ready to dive in? Or are you just putting one toe in the water? Praying just a little bit, because you know if you pray a lot, you might get changed. Trusting God just a little bit, because you know if you trust God a lot, you might be asked to give up something you don't want to let go of yet. My friends, this morning, as we remember our baptisms and reflect on the gift of water, I encourage you to pray for the strength to just dive in to the pool of faith. Remember your baptism and dive in to God's Spirit. Let God wash over your life every day. If you're not ready to do that, then at least put your toe in the pool. Take one step at a time. Look at where you are now in your relationship with Christ and open yourself just a little bit more. If you've never done daily Bible reading, then once a day, just open your Bible and read a few verses. If you've never set a regular time for prayer, then choose a time that works for you and pray every day. If you've already been doing that, then go ahead and immerse yourself more. Pray without ceasing, as Paul encourages us to. At some point, the Spirit of God will wash over you. And you may just get a glimpse of what it feels like to stand at the foot of the throne with those who have gone before, and to join in songs of praise, blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. This week, remember your baptism. Savor the living waters of faith and dive in if you can. Amen. Our hymn of dedication this morning is in the Chalice Praise Songbook, page 76, Wellspring. It builds on the image of water and faith, the river of joy that flows deep in our souls. We'll sing it through twice. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, we would welcome you here at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If there's anyone who in the past you've only had your toe in the pool of faith and you're ready to wade a bit deeper, we would love to share that journey with you as you give your heart to God. You're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, number 76, Wellspring. Refreshments waiting downstairs. I would invite everyone to a time of fellowship. If you're a visitor here today, we'd love to have the chance to greet you. All of our members are encouraged to stay. Have a cup of coffee, a cookie. Enjoy the nourishing waters of fellowship. May your hearts be blessed this week. As we go forth, our choir will sing a blessing for us.